for your glorious coming. We will live forever with you. I ask, Father, that you would empower Pastor now as he expounds on this word, and as we hear from you through your word, Lord, that we would be edified, we'd be more like Jesus when we leave here this morning. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Just a word on this afternoon. One of the things I want to give opportunity. Sometimes some of our folks like to pick out a verse to kind of a year verse that they want to focus on and be challenged by. We're going to give an opportunity for that. But we're going to sing the chorus right now before Don comes to minister in song. 238, this is a day that the Lord hath made. He makes each day. This first day of the year is very significant as we would dedicate the year to the Lord. Let's sing the chorus on 238, This is the Day.
This is a day, this is a day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice, we will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is a day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is a day.
Lord bless you, Don.
This is a song called Thanks to Calvary as we think of the Lord's Supper today. Excuse me. Many people realize when you invite Jesus into your life, the power that gives to have victory over the temptations of the world and bondages in this world. And that's really, this to me is a song of testimonies of men whose lives have been set free from the bondages that they were in before. Calvary is a sign of death. But it's the one who died there that made the difference on that cross that day, okay? Well, today I went back to that place where I used to go. Today I saw that same old crowd that I knew before. And when they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, man that I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things really are different than they were before. And while the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Well, the other day we went back to that house, and that's all it was. It wasn't a home, just a house where we used to. My little girl ran and hid behind the door. I said, honey, don't be afraid. You see, you got a new daddy now. Well, thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I am not the man that I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things really are different than they were before. And while the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell her, thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Yes, thanks to Calvary, I am not the man that I used to be.
Praise God for the difference, what happened at Calvary for us. Thank you, Don. Father, as we have been singing and sharing from the Word, preparing our hearts, Lord, just to remember you, Lord Jesus, thank you that we've met in your name today and are assured by your own Word of your presence here with us, not only in our midst, but in our lives, as each of us as believers. We just want your name to be honored, and we desire that by your Spirit, you'd give us encouragement as we enter into yet another new year. Maybe, and perhaps the year when we'll meet you, Lord Jesus. So guide, I pray, as we commit the time to you in Jesus' name, amen. I wanna just open with a couple thoughts that I want to close with. These verses from Revelation 21, future, where John writes, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful." We look for a coming day when, according to God's own word, as given in Revelation to John on the Isle of Patmos, when he's going to make everything new. The sorrows, the troubles, the struggles that we go through here for God's people will be past. But unto then we must walk with the Lord through the difficulties. And I'd have to say, as I talk about difficulties and so forth, a lot of people go through a lot of different kind of difficulties. But at this point, we've really been blessed in this nation, not suffering a lot for living for Christ and speaking for Christ, but we see those days changing. But that's not to negate what anybody goes through in their own lives, in their own walk. And so I myself have picked that verse at the end here of 2 Corinthians 4, or near the end of 2 Corinthians 4, kind of a verse to focus on in this coming year. And I want us to just focus on some of those thoughts here a bit this morning. For this cause, Paul writes, we faint not, or we don't quit. And we'll come back to talk about that a little bit. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And I think that is the anticipation and the goal and what God wants to do in our lives is to renew us in our inward man day by day. And so Paul, in the passage here in 2 Corinthians 4, he talks about the ministry and how they proclaim Christ and the wonderful blessing that we have the light of the glory of Jesus Christ as Christians living in us. The word makes it clear. When we receive Jesus Christ, God's Spirit, we're born again in our spirit, and the Spirit of God comes to live in us and to live through us. And it's pretty neat the way he says it in verse 6, for God who spoke the light, commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He said, as a Christian, the light of God is in you. And it's so important that we heed what Jesus said, let your light shine, don't put it under a bushel, don't hide it. But he's saying we have that. And then the next phrase, he says, we have that wonderful treasure in earthen vessels, in how God made us, in Psalm 8, a little lower than the angels. Yet he crowned us with glory by bringing us into his family. But we're still in these perishing bodies and with difficulties and trouble. And some are more fluent and strong and all than others, but we are in earthen vessels. And he said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels at the excellency of the powers of God and not of us. So, and I would hasten to say, when we talk about the ministry here, I believe every single Christian is involved and ought to be involved in ministry. Whether it is in encouragement, whether it is in praying, whether it is in exhorting, helping somebody that's struggling or something along the way. So we're not just talking about a group of people that somehow are in the ministry. If you have Jesus Christ in your life, you are ready for ministry. And but he goes on, and just briefly sharing here, what he's saying, it has a cost. And Apostle Paul knew a lot about the cost. In fact, when he was saved and he met the Lord and he went home with his brother, the Lord told him, you'll show him how great things he must suffer for my sake. And he suffered a lot. But notice some of the things he says. This is in 2 Corinthians 4. He says, we're troubled on every side, yet we're not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. You live for Christ, you're going to run into it. And then he said, we're always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that his life might be made manifest. And so he's talking about that there is a cost. Verse 12, he says, so death works in us, but life in you. Whenever I read through this passage, I have to think of you dear mothers that have gone through childbirth. You go through pain and suffering to bring forth new life. And it's sort of the whole process in our fallen world, even in helping people come on to Christ. It has a cost to you, but that out of that cost, that's what Paul is saying. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to faint. Even though our outward man is perishing, the part of us that's going to be laid in the ground someday, or to meet the Lord in the air, whichever comes first in each of our lives, that's perishing. It gets older. It gets deals with that dying process. But our inward man is renewed day by day. That part of us that's going to go home with the Lord and into eternity with the Lord, it's his plan to renew us, to refresh us. And I just want us to think about that in the matter of this coming year. May go through difficulties, may go through hard things. But with Paul, we can say, but he can strengthen us and renew us day by day. Our inward man is renewed day by day. Part of that is just in our walk with the Lord to invite him to do that, to be refreshed by him. Paul in Ephesians 3, when he prayed for the believers there, he said, I pray that by the Spirit of God that you'd be strengthened in the inner man. We need that renewal and that strengthening day by day. So I sort of picked that verse to focus on. As Paul said, we, you know, we're troubled on. I'll just share how he says that verse in NIV. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. One of the things, and I just want to, in this, remind us that we follow the Lord Jesus even in the area of suffering. I've added something to our daily prayer, and I maybe have mentioned that before, but just this part, that I invite you, Lord Jesus, to make yourself, to Mary and me, a living, bright reality. And I've kind of wondered along, how's he going to do that and become more acquainted with the reality of his presence? But I figured out the other day, or it hit me or something, what it's done is helped me to focus on what it meant for Jesus to come here. What it meant for him to come into the world that he created. They didn't know him, didn't receive him, didn't want him. And indeed, he suffered here. And I, as I've pondered that, what it means to go from the worship of the angels, the praise of the angels, they never stopped worshiping, of course, but from the glory of heaven into this fallen world, and to walk here and experience for us suffering. Susie down in Mexico gave Mary a devotional book that somewhere I wrote the guy's name down here. Maybe I'll find it. Yes, Paul David Tripp. What he did, I wasn't acquainted with him, but evidently he every day put out two or three tweets of spiritual truth, and people were blessed by him, and they encouraged him to put it into a devotional book. But on December 26th, his tweet that he was putting a devotional to, Jesus endured suffering in and here and now so that you and I could escape suffering for eternity. And I just share part of what he shared here. It did not start with the cross. From the very first breath he took until he ascended, Jesus suffered. He suffered an uncomfortable, unsanitary birth in a stable. He suffered the terror of fleeing for his life as an infant. You remember they had to flee to Egypt. He suffered the trials of growing and learning as a boy. His brothers didn't believe him. He suffered powerful temptations. He suffered exposure to disease. He suffered homelessness. Remember he said foxes have holes and the birds of the nest have birds have nests. I don't have a place to lay my head. He suffered hunger. He suffered sadness and grief. He suffered disloyalty and betrayal. He suffered physical pain. He suffered disrespect and mockery. He suffered misunderstanding and misrepresentation. He suffered emotional pain of rejection of his father. Father, my Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Remember on the cross. He suffered punishment for the sins of others. He suffered injustice, violence, death. He suffered the full range of the hardships of life in this fallen world. His calling, his mission was to suffer, and suffer he did. His suffering was wide-ranging and constant for the Messiah. Suffering was an everyday thing, even a moment-by-moment thing. The very every act of his suffering was substitutional. So the truth is, suffering came in Genesis 3, came in that decision by our first parents to disobey God and rebel and follow the serpent. Remember some of what God said right there to Eve, that bearing children is going to be a painful experience, not now. To Adam, he said, the ground is going to be cursed for your sake, and there's going to be thorns and thistles, and you're going to eke out a living by the sweat of your brow. And so Jesus, our dear Savior, came into a suffering world, and a world that's filled with suffering. But I would say that again, he endured suffering in the here and now so that you and I could escape suffering for eternity. And so I just think about some of the, just a few situations where people went through suffering but were renewed by God's Spirit. And in the midst of their suffering, that God would bring blessing. And I guess that's the thing that I would want to just somehow pass on the thought that if you're going through suffering, God can and will in that bring blessing and use it for his glory. We love the passage in Lamentations of Jeremiah. Been reading through the prophets and my, how they suffered. And they had to give messages nobody wanted to hear. And Jeremiah went through some really struggles as he did what God wanted him to do. And I'm giving this out of Lamentations 3:18. And I said, my strength and my hope are perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them in remembrance and is humbled in me. But then it's like the Spirit of God did a work in him. And the next verse he says, This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It's of the Lord's mercies that were not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, and my saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It's just a complete, if you'll read his lamentations, he talks about the misery, but then all of a sudden he recalls to mind the wonderful things that we recall, and that passage of scripture is such an encouragement to us. They're new every morning. His compassions fail not. He's faithful God. And that comes in the midst of some of his misery. I understand that John, some of the early fathers say that he actually was doing mining. He was sent for punishment on the Isle of Patmos. And we have the revelation in the midst of him being sent there for his faith and for his testimony of Christ, that there God gave him this wonderful revelation, in which we have in the whole book of Revelation, in the midst of his confinement there. And of course we have it going on, but I think of 2 Corinthians 12, where Paul is coming to the Lord three times. God had allowed the enemy to bring a thorn into some physical difficulty in Paul's life. And he just knew, I could do better without it. It's bogging me down and people don't know for sure what it was. But he asked God three times to remove that. The Lord's word to him was, my grace is sufficient. If you have read in your Bible, he speaks to Paul. My grace is sufficient for thee, Paul, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Hadn't thought about that, but there's a reason for you going through this. And of course, part of it was that he'd had this experience of being caught up into heaven when he was stoned, and lest he be glorified and praised too much for people, says he got this thorn in the flesh. What was Paul's response? Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Whole new insight for the Apostle Paul. This thing shouldn't be in my life, and it's a hindrance to me, but then Jesus says, I'm going to give you strength in the midst of your weakness. And we can find, I want to say a word this afternoon about Annie Johnson Flint. I've got some real heroes in the faith that have challenged me, and some of the men pouring their lives out for Christ. This dear lady, we sang one of her hymns this morning. We sang one of her poems this morning. One of them's on the back of the bulletin, and they go on and on and on. And she suffered tremendously with rheumatoid arthritis. But she just, out of her, poured wonderful encouragements through poetry. There's one that, I don't quote it, but I use it every time I want to do a message or prepare something. That poem she wrote, But God, simply say, God, I cannot, but you can, and I see not, but you see, and there's three of them. I know not, but you know, and I cannot, but you can, and I see not, but you see. So I trust you to do it. And she had that insight, and out of her life came treasure. So I guess what I want to say is, I don't know what you're going through. Sometimes it's very hidden. I don't know what we will go through. But I know that God's plan and purpose is that he wants to renew us day by day. Therefore, Paul says, I'm not going to faint. I'm not going to quit. Though my outward man perish, yet my inward man will be renewed day by day. He goes on to say, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us an exceeding eternal weight of glory. I think about the contrast there, that Paul is able to say, what I'm going through now is brief and it's light, and it's going to work for me an eternal heavy weight of glory. That's a wonderful perspective, I believe, as we begin a new year. Revelation 21, John is given this wonderful message. There's a day coming that I'm going to make everything new. It's not going to be any more pain. There's not going to be any more crying. The former things are passed away. But until then, we need to carry on and trust God to renew us day by day. And I want to have a word of prayer, but I want us to sing a verse of Stuart Hamlin's hymn, But Until Then. Because it occurred to me that is so, it's hard. There's hard things here. There's hard things, I'm sure, in your families and things that you're praying God will change and so forth. And then disease comes and hard things come. But he chooses to renew us day by day. Father, I pray whatever each of my brothers and sisters in Christ are going through here in their present situation, that you would so encourage us with your word through the apostle, that you renew us day by day. You have an ultimate plan. Thank you for that plan in the garden when we rebelled, that you're not going to cast us away forever. But you're going to give your son to us so that we could be made new and live with you in that world where curses are gone. What we need, Lord, is that your grace and your strength to carry on until then. Strengthen us to do that, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just going to sing a verse of 149 before we remember the Lord. And I think we'll just do verse 3. Until then. This weary world, with all its toil and struggle, may take its toll of misery and strife. The soul of man is like a waiting falcon. When it's released, it's destined for the sky. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until prepare your heart for the Lord's Supper as Liz plays. God is so chosen that periodically we stop and we remember what it cost him and what it cost our Savior as we observe the Lord's Supper. I'm going to ask Dennis to ask the blessing on the Lord's Supper today.
Father, thank you for your plan that you knew from the beginning of the world when you made us, that we would need a Savior. And thank you that you, that it was completed, that there was nothing that we can add to it. And that Jesus, you were able to complete that work. And so we just glorify you this morning as we partake and remember your great suffering and what you did to set us free. Jesus, in your name we pray, amen.
We do. We partake of the bread, symbol and reminder of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ that was offered for us. I've asked Jack to ask a blessing on the bread.
Our Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ is the bread of life, and he is the sustenance of everything that we have, that you give us of righteousness. And God, I just thank you so much for what Christ did and continues to do through his death. In Jesus' name, amen.
The same night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." We also partake of the cup. It's a symbol and reminder of the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that was given for us. I'm going to ask Don to ask some blessing on the cup.
Lord Jesus, we thank you again for being willing to come and live on earth and die for us. But thank you, Lord, this was holy blood. Blood without sin that covers our sin. Bless this to our bodies, I pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.
After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Praise God for the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. Sing, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul." I think we all know the chorus. Lord, as much as we can comprehend and realize what you've done, we thank you. Thank you for the change it's made in our lives for eternity. And I pray that we would be able, as we walk with you, to be able to share that wonderful gospel with others around us, that they might also know you personally. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.